can be easy to be dismissive of new things, particularly new fashionable things, and cryptocurrencies are arguably in that category. They can feel like something that's happening in the distance or are too confusing to try and get your head around and probably left alone. But a master's student at the University of Otago, Campbell Miller, thinks that's a mistake. And he set up a cryptocurrency club at the university to try and demystify the concept. He joins me now. Hi there, Campbell.
G'day, Jesse. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, thanks for reaching out. It's really nice to talk to you. And, yeah, thanks for volunteering to explain cryptocurrencies to our audience. Should we start with the basics? What are we talking about here?
Okay. So it is a complicated topic. And for simplicity's sake, I'll try stick to Bitcoin, which was the original cryptocurrency that came out maybe 11, 12 years ago now.
Yeah.
So essentially what Bitcoin is, it is a decentralized digital currency or a monetary network, which is trustless, permissionless, and peer-to-peer. So it has different properties to standard money that the government would issue, essentially.
It's like a currency, just like another country's currency, like the US dollar or the British pound, but it just doesn't happen to be based in one particular country. Is that fair to say?
That is fair to say. And it's also worth pointing out that money is essentially a technology that humans use to for different functions, like storing value, the transfer of value. It's one side of every transaction. And as the human race, we get to decide what properties go into our money. But the governments have said what money is 300 years ago. They got their hands on and made law to do with money. And decentralized currencies allow a way around that and can add new components to our money.
Why is the price of Bitcoin going up so fast? It makes it look like a speculative thing rather than a serious currency and something we should take seriously.
Okay, so with coronavirus and stimulus spending in the United States, at least in my peers, so I'm 23, the Gen Z are well aware of and distrusting of MMT, modern monetary theory.
Right.
And essentially, we're looking for assets that can hedge and store our value over time and space in a way that won't be disrupted by all this inflationary modern monetary theory that's going on.
So you're opting out of the system.
Exactly, that's right. That is right.
Nonetheless, I'm looking at this time 3 years ago, one Bitcoin was worth 13,000 New Zealand dollars. Now it's worth five times more than that. That looks like a bubble, doesn't it?
Sure, sure. Well, if I can explain a similar asset class, which is gold. Gold's market cap is 10 to 12 trillion, depending on who you're asking. And Bitcoin has the same properties of gold in the sense that it's a scarce store of value. And Bitcoin's market cap is $1 trillion. So you could see how you could consider Bitcoin to be undervalued in that sense.
Mm-hmm. Gold's been around for tens of thousands of years, of course, and this is a pretty new thing. What are some of the myths about Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies that you'd sort of like to address?
Sure. I would like to talk about maybe something to do with the energy side of cryptocurrency.
That's been a popular one these days, that it's very bad for the environment because of the amount of energy produced to create bitcoins, to mint them.
Right. That is true. So I would just like to talk about the global energy market in general. The human race generates 160,000 terawatt hours of energy per year, of which 50,000 terawatt hours are wasted. So there's a huge amount of waste that goes on in our societies around the world. And Bitcoin uses 120 terawatt hours to run the entire Bitcoin network. So essentially, 0.25% of the wasted energy in the world provides the security for the Bitcoin network to function. So it's actually a very minuscule amount in that sense.
Yeah, I suppose so. But you can still waste water even if there's leaks in the pipes, right? I mean, the leaks in the pipes are one problem, but you running water all day during a drought is a big problem. I saw one stat that Bitcoin used. I'm just remembering it now. Something like the same amount of energy as Hong Kong does in a year.
Okay, to comment on that, the utility that Bitcoin provides to billions of people who might not have access to traditional banking. So if you look at countries or the modern monetary policies that actually devalued their currency in a way that Bitcoin wouldn't do. So if you look at Argentina, for example, or Venezuela, and we say Bitcoin shouldn't exist, we shouldn't use that energy for that purpose, these people have no way to store their value, which it's a basic human right, economic self-preservation.
Hey, why did you establish the club? Why did you decide to start the Otago Cryptocurrency Club?
Well, like I say, in Gen Z, and my peers in the, at this university have a demand for a place to come together and discuss this technology. And we all share similar values and beliefs about the ideas surrounding blockchain and Bitcoin. So it's been really popular, and we're actually in a big growth phase at the moment, only after setting it up this year. So,
do you invest in Bitcoin?
I do.
And how do you decide if it's a good investment or not?
Well, just on the macroeconomic scale, I think that inflation is coming, and many macroeconomists do, and I want to hedge my I want to preserve my value over the next 10 years.
How many different sorts of different sorts of cryptocurrency are there?
Thousands, unfortunately.
And how do you know which ones are worth investing in and which ones aren't, and why are there more than one?
Okay, so there's some cryptocurrencies that claim to offer utility that is different to Bitcoin. But it's worth noting that network effects are what drive a lot of value in any technology and any dominant player in any market. So you have Facebook and is the social network, and YouTube is the video network, and Bitcoin is the monetary network. And that's strengthened by the fact that there's so many people on that network, many more than each other cryptocurrency, by a large magnitude.
Yeah, okay. And I should point out to listeners at the moment that we're not encouraging them, or I'm not encouraging them, to invest in this. This is just Campbell, who runs the cryptocurrency club at Otago, who wanted to come on and tell us some of why he's interested in this particular topic. There must be a few warnings or provisos that you give to people before they start loading their real money into this stuff.
Yeah, absolutely no financial advice, but I think that the ideas surrounding cryptocurrency are here to stay, and they're worth researching, is ultimately what the point of the club is.
What do you think is going to happen in the future? Do you think some of those newer sorts of cryptocurrencies will sort of fade away or fall away, and we'll end up with a few sort of dominant players?
Absolutely. So I think a lot of those smaller ones are kind of money grabs from the creators who quickly sell out. Things like Bitcoin are definitely here to stay, and whether we like them or not, they're going to be around through our whole lifetimes from here on in, as no one can control them. So that is, it's a very interesting field to watch, and watching the market cap grow over time.
Yeah. It seems that for a few years I've been talking about how pretty soon we'll be able to pay for things online with Bitcoin. That hasn't really happened as far as I can see. Are you predicting that it'll happen at some point, that TradeMe will have a New Zealand dollar price and a Bitcoin price, for example?
So institutions have had to watch, and as Bitcoin takes on many tests if it is even a viable currency, as cryptocurrency is a very new space. But we saw this year Tesla announced that they're accepting payments with Bitcoin, and the problem is that Bitcoin appreciates at such a high rate at the moment that no one wants to spend it. But institutions are slowly taking payment options in crypto.
Right. If you had one Bitcoin, why would you buy something worth $15,000 if in 3 years it was going to be worth $78,000 as it's been in the last 3 years?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Ooh, I might be asking the wrong person because you seem pretty keen on it, but what are the chances the whole thing will crash?
Okay, so I can answer that. Some theories are that you could kill crypto with a death by a thousand cuts if the United States and all these other countries were to ban the ownership of cryptocurrency, then it would probably tank the market to a point of no return, maybe, or it would go into a black market. But otherwise, it is very hard to see a feasible way that Bitcoin could go to zero at this point.
Hey, thanks for educating us.
No worries. If anyone is interested in reaching out to me on LinkedIn to discuss cryptocurrency, I will be open for that. So cheers, Jesse.
Good man. Thanks, Campbell, for showing some initiative. Campbell sent me an email and said he was keen to come on and talk a bit about cryptocurrency as the founder of a club in its honour at the University of Otago. And so pleased to give him a little forum here. And just to reiterate, we're not giving you any advice on the matter, just hoping to educate today.